long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far a fucking way, two lads on a tale of adventure. We're going balls deep in Star Wars, bitches! I'm Jesse Shadoos, and always next to me, Han Solo stand-in on Return of the Jedi.
Come on, Altosh.
Yeah, you dropped right in on that one. Oh, we're here, man. We're fucking going to go balls deep in Star Wars, man. And we're going to get right into things right quick. We're going to go do a history. Yeah, we're going to do a history of Star Wars, man. I mean, we're going to talk about fucking intergalactic trade routes. We're going to be talking about Outer Rim territories. We're going to be talking about the great Sith Jedi schism. Oh, it's going to be epic. We're going to talk about it, man. It's going to be fan-fucking-tastic. If you love Star Wars, you are definitely going to like what we're about to do for you. Is that not right, sir?
Absolutely. And why are we doing this again?
Because that little bastard, Scruffy Nerf Herder, is it 361, I think it is? Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Basically called us out on our Star Wars knowledge. So we're bringing it to you, coming right at you, man, in a galaxy far, far away at light speed. 12 parsecs. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking more, it's our 25th podcast.
Oh, well, there's that. Yeah, it is our 25th podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We've been gone for a while, and I'm sorry about that. I pretty much got the flu and a sinus infection and an ear infection, and it's been a bad year for getting sick. For me, the Force was definitely not with me.
Yeah, I'm trying to sit like as far away from you as possible. I think you're actually a zombie. I think you've actually been resurrected somehow. I don't know how you beat all that shit.
Except the only brains I want's from a down chick.
What?
Except for the only brain I want's from a down chick. You know, like, I want your brains. All right, so we're going to get into this Star Wars thing, man. But before we get into the history of it, we were just talking before we started the podcast about how Luke Skywalker, man, he walks that fine line between the light and the dark side, right?
Yes, he absolutely does.
And like, you know, in this...
We got proof.
Yes, okay, this is what I'm going to get. Yes, in Return of the Jedi, where Luke enters Jabba's palace, he force chokes two Grimorian guards and dismisses their dying corpses like they were nothing. Dude, force choke is a dark side power, man.
That it is. And, what's he wearing? He's wearing all black.
All black, man.
Not traditional for Jedi.
No. His robe is all black.
Yes.
I mean, he looks very much the part of a young Sith acolyte, and in the deleted scene on the Blu-ray, and he's putting his lightsaber together, you know, and the dark side's flowing through him at that point.
He's brooding. He's just yeah. Like,
and he's like taking it all in. Dude, Luke uses the Force as an advantage, man. He doesn't just channel it like a Jedi does.
He uses it for whatever he needs to do. Like, right. his ultimate goal is good.
Right, obviously.
But what he does to attain those goals, to meet those goals, and he'll use the Force however he has to.
Right.
He didn't have a whole lot of time to train with Yoda. He was taught, like, fundamentals, basics, lifting stuff.
I mean, because Obi-Wan didn't really teach him jack, to be honest, other than to let go.
Yeah.
Feel the Force flowing through you,
let
Luke.
Let go, Luke.
Yeah. And stop by Whataburger for me.
Oh, how I miss those.
Whataburger's had some great milkshakes, man, and some good stuff.
Stop it. Stop it.
They Stop. Did, though, man. It was nice. Anyway, okay, so Starving. Back to Star Wars, man.
I hate you.
Whatever. You'll get over it. But Luke, man, he turns to the dark side under the new Emperor, and I'm getting ahead of ourselves in the timeline here, but Luke uses the Force for his advantages, for his goals. He doesn't, like, go to the Force's will. He wills the Force, and that is a dark side trait, ladies and gentlemen. It may be for good purposes, but remember, Darth Revan also channeled both the light and the dark, sir, masterfully. And I think that Luke initiated that, and then further down the line, his grandson, Cade Skywalker, definitely did that. He brought people back from the dead using the dark side. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's something only Darth Plagueis achieved, ladies and gentlemen. That's something only Darth Plagueis achieved. Darth Plagueis, man, totally sick. But since we're delving into history here, let's take it all the way back, man.
All the way back.
Let's take it all the way back, man, where the Jedi first came around, man. Where they first started to discover the Force.
And shit?
No, they weren't using clubs, man, but they were more like they became like a monk order. They were like they just started to learn how to use the Force, man. And, you know, the galaxy was young. I mean, this is a long time ago. This is just when interstellar travel had become possible. Is basically when the Jedi first came about. So they've been with the galaxy for a very fucking long time. Okay, and originally they did use vibroblades and such like that, and electro staffs and stuff like that. They didn't have lightsabers, but they did develop lightsabers, man. And that the first lightsabers, God, I want to say they came about during right after the first schism, where the Sith broke off. And God, what a story, man! And that's a story I wish that they would absolutely have in a video game, like that storyline, like the Great Schism. What a storyline would that be for a video game, right?
It's broad,
right? The first battle between the Sith and the Jedi, man, going at each other, powers fucking going at it, the dark side, the first users of the dark side to feel its power and its taint on their souls. It's a great time, man. It's an epic time right there in Star Wars, man. That's not really touched upon like as in great detail, but I think it would be a fantastic role-playing game. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Fertile for a lot of good storytelling.
Right? Yeah, man. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Darth Revan and Darth Malak, when they broke off from the Jedi during the Mandalorian War, they weren't really the true Sith. It turns out they had actually ventured way out into the depths of space after they found the Star Forges and whatever, and they showed up in Sith space. The real Sith. They ended up on Droman Kaas. Yeah. Okay. And then they were captured on Droman Kaas. And the Emperor, the true Sith Emperor, like the, you know, the red skin with the tendrils and stuff, half breed of human and actual Sith. He, what was I saying?
Revan and Malak.
Oh yeah. So Revan and Malak were imprisoned. He bends their minds, man, to his will, and sends them to test the Republic and the Jedi's strength. That's why they were out there. But they discovered the Starforge. And had they been successful with the Starforge, had Revan not turned back to the light and taken out Darth Malak and saved the galaxy with Basila's battlefield meditation, if that stuff wouldn't have happened, and it went dark side, it's going to be serious, bro. Like it would have been, the Starforge would have been fully going. It'd have been fully going, pumping out massive amounts of freaking ships and freaking soldiers. It would have been over for the galaxy. It would have been over for the true Sith on Droman Kaas. So, but that obviously couldn't happen to bring us to the Star Wars universe that we know today, the dark side ending. But how awesome was the dark side ending on KOTOR?
Fantastic.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it satisfying? Bastila was your chick. You stood looking out on all your forces.
Bastila.
Bro, but when you went dark in that game, you went fucking dark, man. You had to kill Zabar. You had to kill Mission. If you went dark, you had to finally silence that cunt Karth Onassi to shut the fuck up.
Couldn't stand Karth. I couldn't stand him.
He was just such a fucking pusterwinkle. He was such a weak character. I know, like, if you were on the good side,
there's
he's supposed
to be, like...
There's one
of them in every BioWare game.
Yep. And you just hate it. Remember? Caden Alenko. Same thing.
Yep.
And he almost has the same voice as Karth Onassi, if you really think about it.
The Goody Two-Shoes voice.
Yeah. But it almost sounds like Karth Onassi. Yeah, I did. Oh.
I just want to punch that guy.
But when you go dark side, you know, you can actually find your Darth Revan gear on the Starforge. Your old robes and all that stuff, and become Darth Revan if you're on the dark side, yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah, man, and you fucking kill everybody. Like, everybody that... Jolie Bendo? Jolie Bendo gets fucked up. He gets Jolie Ben done. That guy fucking gets sliced up good. And when Bastila takes him, and you're fucking standing there, and she's like, oh, ready to kiss you and everything, and it's like such a fucking epic dark side moment when you see she's turned... fucking does my heart good. I'm telling you, Star Wars, I fucking love you. You know, when I played the Old Republic and I converted a Jedi Padawan to the dark side and she killed her own master.
Oh yeah, you told me about that.
Do you know how insanely satisfying that was to watch that full motion video sequence and all the conversation options I'd chosen? I don't care what anybody says about the Old Republic. It's a fantastic fucking game, and if you don't like it, you're really missing out on it. It's such a good game.
I just want to play it.
Yeah.
I want to play it. I have it. I just can't play it.
Yep. I know, man. I got to get a new pass for it right now because I'm really jonesing to play it. Big announcement while we're talking about Star Wars video games. EA Canada has just signed a deal. Woo-hoo! Hell yeah, has just signed a deal with Disney to do Star Wars games for 5 years.
That's right. Yeah. DICE doing Battlefront.
DICE is doing Battlefront. Yep. And like you said, who better to do that than the guys that do Battlefield? Like,
yeah, seriously. Look at that new Battlefield game, dude. It's gorgeous.
It's amazing.
The things they're able to do with that engine, dude, if they just throw some Star Wars awesomeness to it, game's going to be so awesome.
The rumor mill is in full effect at this point about it. It's in full effect. The rumor is that Visceral has taken on the dead Project 1313, which was rumored to be a Boba Fett action game. Also the first mature-rated game for a Star Wars game.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's nothing like that video that...
Yeah.
...that they showed, I'm fine with that. I just want the story. Yeah. Please.
Please. It's going to be so good. And, as we mentioned, DICE is doing Battlefront, but the bigger news is the rumor is that BioWare is right now in the works of a massive open world Star Wars game, and we all know what that's going to be. That's KOTOR 3. Come on, let's face facts. We're looking at KOTOR 3 here on the next gen, and I couldn't be happier, man, right?
Rock solid.
Rock solid. Full mosh. I am so excited about a KOTOR 3. I really am. Like, that is just gonna... If it's done properly, wouldn't it be great if they
massive
did...
Massive open world, please.
What if they did the Darth Bane trilogy? Wouldn't that be... Oh, damn it.
Oh.
what a rise to power is Darth Bane, man. My favorite Sith of all time. I think he's your favorite too, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody that rides a flying beast from one planet to another.
To wage mass murder is a guy I can get behind.
Oh, dude, seriously, as I'm reading that book, I'm like, my dick's getting hard. I'm this guy's awesome.
Drew Carpathian, man, we freaking love you. I think it's Carpathian. Someone told me it was Carpathian. I always thought it was Carpathian.
I think it's Carpathian.
That's what I thought it was, Carpathian. Drew, we've met you before at MegaCon, bro. Let us know what it is. Yeah. If you listen to this podcast, which you probably don't.
Sincerest apology if I'm butchering your name, dude.
Oh, we love you, though, man.
Huge fan of your work.
Big time, man. Anything by Drew K., man. Is all the Mass Effect books that he did, stellar work. Let's not forget that he was involved in the writing of the original KOTOR.
I just wish we could clone him and, like...
yeah, put him writing every Star Wars project.
This 2K is dedicated to the Mass Effect universe. You're just going to keep writing Mass Effect.
Yeah.
This 2K is dedicated to this Star Wars
game.
Oh,
dude, if
this
Drew
was
K...
going to start a new Star Wars game.
If Drew K did all the Star Wars games... I wouldn't have a life. Like, there would be...
And then they could bring back that other game. What was it? Baldur's Gate or whatever it was?
Baldur's Gate?
I think that's where he started his writing.
Oh, I was going to say, did we just go from Star Wars to Baldur's Gate real quick?
Well, it's Drew K, man.
I know, I'm just saying.
It was a novel he wrote. It was a fantasy, I believe.
Yeah.
I never read it.
Well, I played the game a couple of times. I wasn't a fan, but...
Moving right along.
Yeah, anyways.
My apologies.
No, it's all good, but we're getting back to the Star Wars history, man. So, what's crazy about the original Sith Emperor, man, is he's so dark side, he made himself immortal, okay, by consuming the life force of an entire planet, his home planet.
That's pretty he fucking dark.
Performed a dark side ritual that stole the soul and essence of every living being in that world and put it into him. Yeah, dude. His eyes were like black pearlescent and they swirled. All the people's force energies were inside of him. He owned them like Vader, like Freddy Krueger owned souls, so did this guy.
That's badass.
Yeah, man. And when at one point in one of the Old Republic books, I think it's Alliance where they talk about it. It's either Alliance. No, it's Darth Revan where they talk about it. I forget the main character's name. He's a Sith. Anyways, it's amazing.
I don't know either.
I can't remember his name. I read the book. But anyways, in that book, it tells you the backstory of how the Emperor becomes the Emperor. Because it's from the Emperor's hands perspective that you're finding out all this stuff. He becomes war for the Emperor. Like, the Emperor gives him a partial amount of his gift at the end of the book. And he becomes the Emperor's wrath. Which is just like the Emperor's death will. Like, you just go and fucking carry out.
The Emperor wants this guy dead.
Right.
Okay, I will do this.
It's what my character is in the Old Republic. I'm the Emperor's wrath now. I've been recruited personally by the Emperor. Yeah. It's such a great storyline, man. I'm telling you.
Can anybody attain that?
Yeah, status? Because it's part of the Sith Juggernaut storyline. Yeah, it's amazing. It's so rich. And that time period is so rich. But anyway, this guy consumes an entire planet. And they talk about when they go to the planet, other people have been there, that it's like being nowhere. There is no life. All the plants... Everything is gone. It's just a desolate world, and nothing is out of place. Everything is just as people left it when he absorbed them all. But there's no feeling there, and it kind of makes you sick to your stomach to even be on the planet, because the planet is not just absent of all life, it's devoid of all force. The force is gone. It's a force dead zone. He created a force dead zone.
What?
And you feel like you're dying when you're there because you're not connected to the living force, even regular people. But when you're a Jedi or a Sith, it makes you almost fucking, like, collapse.
Oh, wow.
It's like kryptonite to Superman. It's unreal what this guy did. And this is the guy that's of the original Sith Empire, the real Sith Empire. The ones that start taking it to the Jedi.
This is the guy you don't want to meet in a dark alley.
No, you do not want to cross this guy. This guy is mean, bro. I mean, we haven't even delved into the deepest, darkest depths of our freaking Star Wars knowledge. I haven't even gotten into Nomi Sunrider and freaking Exar Kun, all the greats, Freed Ned, Nagasato. I'm just dropping Sith names on you right now because I'm fucking... Hey, are you listening? Are you listening, Scruffy? Scruffy Nerf Herder 361, are you listening? Because I'm dropping all this on you. What are you dropping on him?
I haven't dropped anything.
Well, we're dropping fucking knowledge on you, Scruffy.
I'll drop some beats.
But anyways, man.
I'll drop the bass.
I had this thing where I was like, man, what would happen if Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, was a pimp for real? And, like, he just liked to have a good time. Right?
There's got to be a fun side to him.
Like,
he must have been so bored. Like, seriously, all he's got to do is make sure this whiny little brat comes up.
Yeah.
And he's always like, I want to go join the academy, blah, 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 get off of this planet. And you're like, what the
Right.
Seriously, you gotta keep this kid in check. You gotta keep him
exactly.
on this planet.
It's like a, he's a babysitter. He's a Jedi babysitter.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, what's horrible is it's just, like, there he is. He's on a dusty-ass planet in the middle, on the fucking outer rim, backwater.
And he wasn't that old when
when he got there.
Stuck with that life.
Yeah.
That was the hand he was dealt.
And he lived in the waste, man. The Junlin wastelands. Like, it's like... Yeah.
Pretending to be a green dragon, like, every day.
You know, I just fucking... Wow, it's not good. But, like, in this episode, ladies and gentlemen, anytime you hear Obi-Wan Kenobi's voice, it will be played by Sean Connery. So be prepared for that. Because, I mean, what if Obi-Wan gets there, dude? He's just like, it's his first day. You know, he's all by himself. All he's got is his memories and a hologram. And he's got R2. And doesn't even have R2 because R2 got taken from him a long time ago. So he doesn't have R2. He has nobody.
Nobody.
He's just chilling there. His first day, he's like... So, I pretty much don't have shit to do. He's a baby. He's not going anywhere. Christ. What's a guy gotta do for some fun around here? Looks like I might have to travel into Mos Eisley.
Hey, you wanna buy some Death Sticks?
You're goddamn right. Death Sticks. Now you're talking. It's gonna be lonely out here in the desert. A man likes to party.
You see him in a fetal position, like, he goes back to his little hut of, like, clay or whatever it is.
Yeah, in the rocks.
And he's just, like, in the fetal position, like, puking his guts out.
Having, like, a train spotting moment. Somewhere there's a dead baby in the corner. Just crawling on the ceiling. Oh, God, imagine
that.
Shit
coming out the back of his diaper.
Dude, could you imagine, like, if like he was like tripping on some Tatooine peyote and he starts seeing Vader? Oh God. I have failed you, Anakin. I have failed you. You're my brother, Anakin.
Meanwhile, Vader's on the other end going, "Fuck, dude, yes, I've heard this about 1,000 times. I get it. I hate you.
I hate you. Right?
Why do you keep calling?" I don't want to talk to you.
I was your brother, Anakin. I loved you.
Annie, yay!
Miss Sucking Big Pruder now. Worst character ever. But
did
I'm...
we ever find out when he dies?
No. Remember, we looked it up and it never lists Jar Jar Binks' death. I think it's a big point of contention, and I think it's intentionally overlooked because... in canon, and if somebody can find it for us and prove me wrong, I looked all over everything and I could not find the death of Jar Jar Binks, not in any Star Wars encyclopedia, guide to the characters, nothing does it describe when Jar Jar Binks died, because I think people would exploit it. Like, I think if people found out, like, when exactly he died and what time period it was in.
And why not?
Yeah.
Give the people something to exploit.
I know. There's nobody more than me that would like to see a Jar Jar Binks computer animated fan film where he dies.
If it were a comic, I would take that particular little window and I would just enlarge it.
You know, it's just a fucking movie, guys. So there was Jar Jar Binks. It's just a fucking movie.
Fuck you, George Lucas. Fuck you up your stupid ass. I don't know about you, but I'm actually optimistic now that George Lucas is not involved with Star Wars. I can't be the only one that feels that way.
I definitely feel that way.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the hands of J.J. Abrams and the guy that wrote Empire. Lawrence Kasdan, yeah, something like that, is writing episode 7. So the guy that wrote the darkest, most serious Star Wars movie ever is writing episode 7. I'm so on board for that.
Please and thank you.
Yeah,
and here's my money, just take it.
And J.J. Abrams, thanks a lot for Star Trek, because
yeah, by the way, that was good too.
Amazing. And if you can do that to Star Trek, what could you do to the better franchise? I said that, yeah. The better franchise. Suck it, Roddenberry.
Suck it long and hard.
Suck it long and hard, Roddenberry. I've got your captain's log right here. I cut a man in half. Sliced him clean through.
In half.
He fell down a long shaft in two pieces. And then when he put himself back together, I cut him in half the other way. Darth Maul was one dead bastard. That was a dust up in Tatooine that day. Later on, I consumed blue milk and death sticks. Because my job was complete.
It was the end of my shift.
Obi-Wan out. Protected wee lad. Check. Save the motherfucking galaxy. Check.
Again.
Doing motherfucking work. Check. Because that's how I roll. Jesus Christ.
And then he goes back to his little clay hut. He goes back to
eats a
surrounded by empty death stick canisters. Just shivering.
He ignites his lightsaber and his former apprentices and clashes them together. Like, ha ha, ding ding. Remember when I did this?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember that.
Vader's talking to him in the Force, you know? I actually remember that quite differently. No, remember the part where I sliced your legs off and your arm too? No, I seem to have missed that. I have no idea what you're talking about. No, you remember. You said, "Oh, I hate you," and a choo choo choo. Right? Go fuck yourself.
Stop calling me.
It always goes down to name calling, doesn't it, Vader? Who's the master now, lad? I am a master. Only a master of evil, asshole. Shutting off the Force now, gotta go.
In transmission, wait, no!
Oh, man.
Why does he always get the last word?
I don't know. See, folks, we can have a light side to Star Wars, man. There's so much to work with, there really is. I mean...
I think that's why the universe is so awesome. It's nigh, it's nigh infinite.
It is, man. And you can do so much with it. And there's so much comedy in this. Like, when I was watching Empire again the other night, Leia kissed him quite a few times. Kissed Luke in that movie quite a few times.
Yeah, just to piss off Han Solo.
No, even like when he was laying in the bed on the Falcon with the hand cut off.
Did she kiss him on the mouth?
Yeah, she kisses him on the lips.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's right, and then he sits back in the bed a little more comfortable.
No, no, that's another scene entirely. I'm talking when he gets his hand cut off.
Oh, at the end.
And she kisses him on the mouth again. Just shit. And I'm sorry, but, like, I know they felt with the Force something. They didn't know what it was, and then when they finally found out, that had to be kind of gross, right? Like, I was totally digging this chick, and I found out she was like my sister.
What if it were a little late?
Oh, God.
Like, they already had Cletus Skywalker.
Hey, Daddy, watch this. Put that down. Put that down. Oh, look out. He's the George Bush of the galaxy.
I'm sorry.
Mom, I could put that back on, I promise. I could put it back on. Tell him, Dad. Oh, why? Why didn't you tell me, Obi-Wan? Why didn't you tell me? No, there is another. Yes, why didn't you tell me?
Well,
he's like, information I could have used.
This is awkward.
On the upside, his midichlorian counts are off the charts. Yeah, but he's a dumbass. I sent him to the Tosse station. He came back with nothing. He had a bolt and a screw. What am I going to do with that?
And none of the money I sent him with.
Yeah. Bet you there were a lot of fucking dancers happy that day. Near yeah, Twilight Whore's eye was dry in the house. Speaking of which, man, Obi-Wan Kenobi now enjoying some well-deserved R&R, man.
So I was 3 sticks in Greedo's Grotto, and it was going to be a good night. Young lad, Boba Fett had tracked me down for his 21st birthday. And he made the right choice, because Obi-Wan knows how to get down. So he approached the bar. I already had some Twi'lek whores lined up for the evening. It's going to be a good time. I had one green and one dark as sweet chocolate. So we took a seat at the corner booth and we were doing shots. Nothing gets our party started like shots. All of a sudden, this loudmouth Deveronian starts cracking wise. That's when I knew I had to teach him a lesson. Never fucked with a Jedi Master, son. Jesus Christ, you're in for it now. So I looked over at Boba Fett, and I didn't need to read his mind with the Force to know he was thinking exactly what I was. So he pulls out his blasters, real coy as not to arouse suspicion, and then fires straight from the hip, blasting the Trandoshan next to that goddamn red-horned bastard. And it was on like Donkey Kong. I ignited my lightsaber in a flame of blue glory. Sliced his arm clean off, cauterizing the wound as it fell. Not like in episode 4 where you fucked that up. He howled in pain and dropped to the floor. I glanced back at Boba Fett and he had his guns trained on everyone in the place. It was epic. We were ready. As I could see the crowd calming down and the bartender relaxing, I disengaged my lightsaber. Threw him a credit chip for the damage. Boba Fett sat back down. I returned to my seat as well. We finished our shots and grabbed the whores. It was time to head over to Jabba's party palace and finish this night right. So we got there, consumed some more death sticks and some Trandoshan ale. Damn, those lizard bastards can make a good ale. By now, the death sticks had gotten me rock hard. The Force was strong in me. I could feel it. The time was right. Boba Fett was going down on the green Twi'lek, and he was really getting down the brass tacks with it. I was getting my cock sucked and my elbows licked. Fantastic. Just then, Boba Fett flipped the green whore over and started hitting it from behind. So I grabbed sweet chocolate and used a Jedi mind trick to put it right in her ass. This was one time you could truly say Obi-Wan Kenobi came to the dark side. The sexual debauchery went on to the wee hours of the morning. Never had the galaxy witnessed such an epic party, and they never would again. Me and Boba Fett were destined to never cross paths again. But it was one night, two lads, a shitload of death sticks, and two Twi'lek whores. 4 weeks later, I'd meet that whiny boy from the moisture farm. And it was all downhill after that.
Jedi Archives, Section Alpha, Subsection 34C.1247. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It was epic.
We were ready.
Oh, that Obi-Wan.
And it was pretty much all downhill after that. And it was. It so was. As soon as...
Think about it, like the... He meets him, and then it's like, oh, fuck, I gotta take this kid here. Oh, he's running home. Why are you running home? You know they're dead. You just want to see how dead they are?
And they were pretty fucking dead.
He's sitting there waiting, burning Jawas.
I mean...
Thinking, man, it was pretty sweet when I went and hung out with Boba Fett. That was no fun.
That was awesome. This is
now
terrible.
Now we're burning Jawas.
And I mean,
I'm gonna die.
And that was pretty serious. Like, he saw what they did to Jawas. You know, like, they fucking slaughtered the Jawas. What do you think they were gonna do to Uncle
he
Owen?
He saw that happen to younglings.
Yeah, okay, but Aunt Beru?
Oh, from Luke?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was tough. Because you could tell he really loved Aunt Beru. Like, Uncle Owen was just always a fucking annoyance to Luke, but... Because Uncle Owen, dude, Uncle Owen didn't want that responsibility,
no,
I don't think.
No, he did not. He wanted to hang out with his lady,
mm-hmm.
and just be married, be happy, and...
Yeah. He was like...
That's it. He wanted to be a...
He was like, that was... He's like, those were my dad's problems. I don't want to have to deal with this. And then Obi-Wan's like, look, you want to take the baby. This is the baby you're looking for. And all of a sudden, Owen Lars is like, down to be a dad.
Now, here's what I'm wondering, though. When Qui-Gon was asking Beru...
Yeah.
Who's the father? She was like... There was no father. She was in slavery an awful lot. She was probably the one to prop the hooker in. Okay.
You think maybe that's what it was? I don't think so. I think that's not what they were going for, but I think that's an interesting theory that, like, that's what it was. Like, you know, she
was... Who's to say, man?
Yeah. Well, she might have been ashamed, so she was like, there was no father. But then she goes, there was no father, I can't explain it. And then basically you're led to believe that Anakin is a Force child.
I was not led to believe anything. I was just led to believe I don't know who his daddy is. Like...
No, but they pretty much imply that he came from the Force. It's almost like a messianic thing where, like, he's the Messiah. Like, you know, he was born of a virgin, basically. Is what I'm saying, like that kind of thing.
It's
a
symbol,
right? That was what Lucas was going for, the symbolism.
Oh,
right. Because if Star Wars draws from a lot of mythologies. You know, Christianity, it draws from, you know, Judaism, it draws from a lot of different things, Viking, and it draws from World War II.
What does it draw from with Metachlorians?
Not a motherfucking thing.
It draws from stupid.
God damn it. You know what, man? We've talked about Metachlorians
before. I'm
sorry,
I know it is a touchy subject, but...
I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think it's stupid. I don't dig it. It's not my thing. I don't understand why it's necessary. It takes all the mysticism out of the Force. And like I said, we've already talked about this.
And that was the beauty of Star Wars before Metachlorians came into the picture. It was sci-fi with fantasy. And it was just perfect.
Putting the Metachlorians in there makes it not fantasy really anymore.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it really takes it out of the fantasy genre. Because the whole point about the Force is that it's mystical. And obviously there's going to be some sort of thing based in science in this universe, but it also added a spirit element to it, if you will. And that's what made it so cool, man.
You're either good with it or you're not good with it.
Yeah.
You can tap into it, you can't tap into it.
And there's degrees of being able to tap into it, too. There's just Force people that can feel the Force and have quicker reflexes, like, say, Han Solo probably had a mild Force affinity for as good of a shot as he was and as good of a pilot. Right. Exactly. And
Have you ever read Courtship of Princess Leia? He pulls some moves.
Yeah, dude. He does some work.
So does Luke.
Yeah.
Actually, Han was watching Luke fly the Falcon and they were describing how because he was using the Force to fly it,
mm-hmm.
he was doing stuff with it that Han Solo simply could not.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's more attuned to the Force. But then you have Force adepts, which can do mild telekinesis and can, like, see... Some of them can see the past and the future and stuff like that. Like the Force Witches of Dathomir. Yeah.
Crushing Han's teeth in his mouth. Ugh, fuck, dude.
You know, you don't want to fuck with those girls, okay?
No, hell no, you do not.
No.
You're like, oh, you ladies, you got the Force. That's great. You know what? I hear my mom calling me.
Well, you know that's where, you know, Darth Maul's mom was a Force witch. She was
really?
Yeah.
No shit.
That's how he was given to Palpatine. She felt the dark side in Palpatine and gave him to him because every male that was born was killed because they were the Night Sisters. You know? They couldn't have males. Like, the males had to serve as protectors, right? or but they were sterilized. They didn't have a life. Like, they were basically, some of them were breeding material. Like, they were just nothing. So her mom gave him away to Palpatine, and Palpatine raised him from a baby, basically.
Huh.
Yeah. Palpatine gave him all of his tattoos.
And threw him away as a pawn.
He was never meant to be the true apprentice. He was never...
But he was useful.
But he was useful. But he, in his own book, he questions his what his role is. He wants more. He knows he's being intentionally fucked with and kept down. And he's trying to branch out to get his own information. He wants to read ancient scripts and stuff like that, and Palpatine doesn't let him. Like, he's tried to branch out on his own to find out things, but it never happens for him. And it's because once he had attained power, he violated the rule of two. He violated the rule of two. There has to be a master and an apprentice. No more, no less. That's where the dark side concentrates
most. A master with the power and an apprentice that wants the power.
The crave it, yep. And that's it. That is the nature of things. That's how the Sith were able to take the galaxy. But Plagueis really was going to violate the rule of two as well when he wanted both of them to live forever. He wanted to be the master forever, and he wanted Sidious to be basically his hand in politics so he could rule the galaxy from behind the scenes. Well, that was his mistake, because Palpatine, Sidious had no intention of sharing power. He was a true Sith, and he was going to take what was rightfully his, and he did. In fact, Plagueis was still alive the night Palpatine became Supreme Chancellor.
Oh?
Yes. In fact, in I think it's episode one, it's either episode one or episode two, you see a group of Muns, which is what he was. His name was Hago Damast. And he was a Mun, and his family was head of the internet banking guilds and internet banking cartels and stuff like that. The Muns controlled all the money, and his family was the head of it. And that's where being the rule of two had gotten the Sith. It had gotten them into places of power because they hid themselves. They weren't out in the open about it. They weren't recruiting armies. You know, Darth Bane set it on track after Revan and Malak had instituted it themselves. They were the first two to actually do it. Before that, the Sith Empire always tried to use mass numbers to conquer the Jedi, and that's why they always failed. And so Plagueis, you see these group of Muns come walking through behind Palpatine, I think, is talking to somebody, and one of them is Plagueis.
Hmm. That's episode one?
And it's episode one or episode two, I can't remember. But it's Plagueis. Like, from the pictures I've seen of him to the way he looked when he was walking by, there's no doubt in my mind it was a slight thing that only you would get after reading Darth Plagueis. But I don't think it was intentional. Maybe they hadn't planned it like that. But after when you read Darth Plagueis, that scene's actually described, basically, with them walking. But yeah, man, Plagueis was no joke. And he got really drunk after Palpatine won. They were celebrating. Palpatine was drinking, but Palpatine wasn't drinking. He was using the Force to negate the drinks. But not Plagueis, though. Plagueis was reveling in their victory, basically, because he knew the time had come. And he had already been able to basically conquer death. Like, he'd been able to manipulate midichlorians into actually coming back to life. Thereby, you know, igniting life again and keeping him fresh. So he'd figured it out. Right? But he was sloppy. He was careless. He let his guard down. And Palpatine made sure he knew that he was dying at the hands of Palpatine. He choked him. He choked the life out of him himself on top of him. And he told him exactly what he thought about him and why he was a failure as he was choking him.
What?
Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah, man. So both Dark Lords of the Sith were around at that time. Why do you think Palpatine at the end of episode one goes, "We'll be watching you with great enthusiasm"? And he's like, because he knows already. He knows at that point he's found his true apprentice. And he knows it. And he starts right from that point manipulating Anakin Skywalker's destiny.
Yep.
Such a mind fuck, and it's such a good one. And kudos to my main man who plays Palpatine, man. I love that guy so much.
Oh, dude, his delivery on so many of his lines
is so awesome.
You can just feel the dark side in his voice. Like, what was it, in Return of the Jedi, he was like, I'm afraid those force fields will be quite operational when your friends arrive. Like, he was loving it. He was eating it up.
Man, it was everybody's so good.
Fucked, and he's got this big ass heart.
It was really good. And he's like, your overconfidence is your weakness. Your faith in your friends is yours. Oh, that's so fucking badass. He's so fucking arrogant. Like, he's just fully confident, man, that he's going to take the day. And he, once again, underestimates his apprentice. It's a classic story. Mm-hmm. Darth Vader didn't take the mantle, but he did kill his master. He was not going to let his son die. That was... Luke was his last bit of humanity. It was such a wonderful story, man. It was such a redeeming quality. And I know, Lucas, I know you wanted to put Hayden Christensen in at the end of Jedi in your redone version, but...
We get it, buddy, but please damn don't. It.
No, it's already done.
Damn it.
He's there, you know that. The new version of Jedi.
Well, they didn't fix it.
No, he's still there. And it's... Dude, I liked him as old Ben. I mean, as old Anakin. He was awesome as old Anakin. It made sense. I mean, I guess it makes sense that that's when he was last a Jedi and last on the light side, if you want to look at it that way. But it just ruins the continuity of the film to me.
Yeah.
I've already, you know, I know Han shot first, and I know all of that, but...
That, and believe it or not, there's an awful lot of people that choose to introduce others into Star Wars starting from episode 4.
Yeah, and that's how you should be introduced to it.
Because if when it is revealed that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father, everybody should have that face.
There's that face, man. Have you ever gone on... You've seen that kid on YouTube, right? The one where he's watching it.
A few of them.
Where he was watching it with his sister and that part comes and he goes and he looks at his dad. and his sister's just got her fingers in her mouth like, oh my god. And it's just like, there's just, as a nerd man and a Star Wars fan, there's just no better moment to watch somebody's reaction.
You go and put Hayden Christensen in there and it's like, who the fuck is that? Oh yeah, well, I'll explain that, like, you know, next time we sit down to watch some Star Wars. I got three other ones.
This is a topic I could sit around and talk about for hours on end. I could sit here and talk about Star Wars and all its intricacies and its extended universe and everything about it, because Star Wars is my shit. It is just my shit, man. It's we go to Celebration every time it comes to town. Woo-hoo! You know, I want to go to it when it's in Anaheim. We should go to it when it's in Anaheim this coming year. Let's do it. Let's plan on it. We'll go to Anaheim, California.
I'd like to.
Yeah, man. Fucking do it. See if I can get Candace to hook it up. You know what I'm saying? Love you, Candace. But yeah, man. I think it's just such a big part of my life. It's made such an influence on what I read, on how I love special effects.
It influences how I see the world.
Yeah.
I compare everything to Star Wars.
Yeah. Cause you can. It's so awesome. It's just.
It's so relatable.
I can't.
Believable.
I can't. Like, if I meet a chick, there's like a test. Like, you can't. Like, if I meet a girl and she tells me I don't like Star Wars, it's not going anywhere. And it's not that I don't like. I mean, I can get over it if she's like, okay, I don't really care about Star Wars.
I'm not familiar with Star Wars.
Or like, I don't hate it, but I'm not. I don't really dig it like you dig it. But I think it's okay that you dig it. I could deal with a girl like that. But if she flat out was just like, I think fucking Star Wars is stupid, I'd be like, well, and you're still single because this is not going to work. Because it's such a big part of my life, man. I collect it. I play every Star Wars video game, even the bad ones. I mean, like...
Master of the Terra Kazi?
Was it Terra Kasai? Terra Kazi?
I think it was Kazi.
I don't know. I would say Kasai. I don't know. We'll have to find that shit out. We'll look it up. Because it'll say it like in the intro screen. We could probably YouTube it.
I never played it, but I heard it was just horrendous.
Well, in Jedi Academy, when you could take it online multiplayer, that was a lot of fun. But it felt a lot like the game where like the sword play didn't have any like gruff to it. Like it didn't feel like you were actually hitting anything. Of course, back then the controller didn't vibrate for it, so it's not like.
There was no vibration?
No, not really. What? No. Not when your lightsabers clashed.
Oh, it's been a while since I've played a game without vibration.
That's what I'm saying. It felt very dead. It just, you know, it felt forced. Like, it just, it looked like two sticks were hitting each other, but, like, nothing happened. But other than that, the game was amazing, and you could use the Force, and the storyline was fantastic. All those games back then, Jedi Academy, Jedi Outcast, Rogue Squadron.
Oh, Rogue Squadron.
Right? Now, that's a game I wish that maybe that the EA Canada might be working on as a new Rogue Squadron, or maybe like a TIE Fighter version of it, too, like an Imperial version. That would be awesome. I'll play whatever. Let's face it, folks. If it's Star Wars, it's going to get my money. It's just going to happen. I'm excited that Disney has it, man. I think the level of merchandise we're going to have.
The Clone Troopers.
Episode 2?
No, it was a game.
Republic Commandos?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, Republic Commando was a very good shooter. Yes, it was. It was very good, man.
Excellent squad tactics.
Yeah. You can shoot Wookiees. Yes. It's pretty fun. Because I like Wookiees, though, man. And I like Ewoks, too. And I understand the comparison that kids have nowadays for Jar Jar Binks to, like, what people that saw it in the 70s thought of Ewoks, 70s and 80s, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because back in the day, from what I understand, there's a lot of people that felt the same way about Ewoks that we feel about Jar Jar Binks. But when we were little kids, of course, we loved the Ewoks. But there are, like, some 40-something-year-old dudes, like you know, mid-40s.
Fuck Ewoks.
They're like, fuck Ewoks. Yeah, man. They, like, you fucking set your caravan of courage on fire, bro. There's no way they took out Imperial Stormtroopers with rocks and some fucking sticks.
No way.
No way, bro. It's not my Star Wars. Raping my childhood, George Lucas. The original You're Raping My Childhood people. There's been so many generations since. Like,
you're raping him.
Dude, when we went and saw the re-release in 97 of all the movies, and we actually sat in a theater for all three that one day. What a marathon session. The stuff that they did to them for the re-release, I didn't have much of a problem with. I love the new extended scene at the end of Jedi, where it showed all the people celebrating that the Empire was gone. They pulled down the Emperor's statue. My only problem with that is that, like, the Empire was still pretty much in place. Like, word hadn't really traveled. Like, everything. You think the Stormtroopers just laid down their weapons because the Emperor died? First of all, there was a power vacuum that had to be filled in the Empire, and I'm telling you right now, there were Grand Moffs all over the fucking galaxy vying for that spot. Okay? And, yes, there may have been inner turmoil, but there was still law. Those people would have been shot to death pulling down that statue. The Empire wouldn't tolerate that. There'd be thermal detonators going off on that platform. People would be dying. That was a little unrealistic.
Well, they didn't show everything. I mean, no. They showed it going down. Who's to say that it didn't? They didn't open fire like as soon.
That
as
would have been a better scene.
Swiped over, you know?
Can you imagine? Like right before it cuts off, all of a sudden you just see them opening fire, and then it goes to Naboo.
Dos mechanics. Are you sir up like there? So no care about the Naboo. Me, sir, don't think so.
he's to be punished. Risa Gungans, Risa Warriors, Risa got grand on me. Miss a Bombad General. Oh no, boss nuts!
Jaja! Who's a pooba?
And the worst thing he ever did, Risa going to be granting Supreme Chancellor extended powers. Fucking twat. What were you doing?
Why?
I just pictured Jar Jar at some point when the Empire is taking over, and he's just sitting in his room alone, and he's going, Missa really fucked up. Missa can't go on. Missa coming to you, Annie.
Pulls it out of a manila envelope.
He joins the force. Vader's like, God damn it.
Annie!
Now that would have been something to put at the end of Jedi. When Hayden Christensen shows up, all of a sudden Jar Jar Binks Ghost comes running in and tackles him.
Annie! You're all sparkly glowy.
Oh no.
Oh, they did that on Robot Chicken. You've seen that one? Yeah, where he comes back and he's bouncing all over the wall. Oh, man.
I really dislike Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And I love any humor that is anti-Jar Jar.
This is true, man. All right, well, you know what, man? We're going to put a pin in it right here. This is part one of our two-part Star Wars event, episode 25. I'm Jesse Shadoos.
Kamal Al-Tash.
And we'll see you next week in a galaxy far, far away.